A lot of stuff inside of them as well as outside of them. And so then sometimes we get some problems that come along in our lives, right? We have things come along in our lives that are sharp occurrences, things that happen in our lives, right? And they come along in our life and they needle at us, you know? You know what I mean? And sometimes they tempt us to go, "You've got your fingers in your ears. I don't get it. What's that all about?" You don't think I'd really do it, do you? As long as this balloon continues to have no holes at all, everything's good, right? Everything's quiet, right? Everything's good. I'll pop it over here, all right? That'd be better. Everybody over here is going, "No." So as long as there's no holes, no problem, right? The air's held in there. Everything's good. As long as the integrity of the skin of this balloon holds up, we have no issues. It's only when there's a tiny break. And it doesn't take a big one, does it? It doesn't take a big break at all. Just the tiniest break will open it up, yes? And so if I just... Ready?
Yes.
See, I put it down over there. As long as it stays there, it's okay. As long as everything stays together, no problem. But just the tiny break can open a floodgate that we have no clue about. Our text for this morning, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Or King James this morning, "Thou shalt not," right? Bear false witness. This was a more legal setting, a setting wherein appearance was made before the judge and you were stating what you had seen, what you had not seen for the sake of a trial. And so they were not to bear false witness in that legal setting, the oath that you might take, you know, the judicial oath. Right there. Okay. As we look at patriarchs and prophets, there's a quote on the back of your bulletin that discusses this a little bit, and that gives us a little bit clearer understanding of what this command, this ninth command, was all about. And it has to do with all kinds of false speaking. In fact, it's quite clear that we could tell something about someone else without ever even opening our mouth, couldn't we? We could tell an untruth without ever saying a word. For example, if you were to say, if someone else said to you, "Well, I heard your pastor drinks alcohol. I heard your pastor has beer in his refrigerator." Y'all are welcome to come look at my fridge anytime. But let's just suppose they said that. And you went, What would that tell that person? That you don't know, you know, you. That person just might be right. Who knows, right? All we have to do is shrug our shoulders and we can convey the wrong idea with just a glance, a little motion of the hands, an expression. Or we can tell an untruth by intentionally overstating something, you know? This car, I guarantee you'll never have trouble if you buy my car. Never have a bit of trouble with that car. That's overstating, huh? That's overstating things a little bit. Or how about even if we state the facts, but in a misleading way? When I was a kid, I had walkie-talkies. Anybody have walkie-talkies? Like walkie-talkies, yeah. So we had some walkie-talkies, and we played with them for a while, and mine busted. Mine busted. And I had someone say to me, how about if I buy your walkie-talkie? Well, I said, it's broke, you know? And they said, yeah, well, I'm willing to take the risk. Right? I said, well, okay. Well, since it's busted, you know, just maybe $2 or something. So money exchanged. And then little did I know that they had already taken the walkie-talkie, fixed it, and they were sitting right there with it. Fixed. They knew it already worked again. And they were like, yeah, I know it's busted, but, well, yeah, it was busted. They said the truth. It was busted. But it wasn't anymore. And so they told the truth and ended up, you know, taking a little bit of my money along with their truth, right? So even facts can be stated in a way that misleads people. Or, as in their case as well, they suppress the truth that they had already fixed it. That also is a violation of the ninth commandment. We can violate that commandment when we say something about someone else that we're not really sure of, but we just kind of let it hang in the air there. You know what I mean? You've heard people do that before, I'm sure. All of those kinds of things. Because the point is what was in my head? What was in my heart? Did I want to deceive you? If I'm intending to deceive you, I've broken that commandment, huh? Because it's about deception. It's about giving you the wrong impression, even if I do it with right words. And so all of those can lead us in the wrong direction. Take a look at Matthew chapter 5. Jesus addressed this commandment. Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus addresses this commandment in the words, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. And so this swearing falsely, again, is dealing with the commandment, perjury, dealing with how we are, when we are in a court setting. And he talks about performing your oaths. That's talking about when you promise to give the Lord X amount for something, what needs to happen? Need to give X amount, right? Not, oh, well, I didn't know I was going to have this trouble, so it's not about what you promised. It's about fulfilling that promise. Then in verse 34, he changes the course a little bit. Take a look at it. But I say to you, do not swear at all. Didn't the Old Testament say that we should not bear false witness when we're in a court setting, right? And so what's Jesus talking about here? He's saying, don't swear at all. Does that mean you can't stand up in a court of law and take that oath? Is that what it's talking about? No, because even Jesus was able to take an oath. In Matthew 26, 64, the high priest put him under oath, remember? And said, tell us, are you the Christ? And Jesus said, it is as you say. So Jesus was willing to take oaths. Paul also, in 2 Corinthians 1:23, called God to be his witness. He was not talking now about the judicial oath. What he was saying is against what was happening in Jewish society at the time. They were quite willing to take oaths as long as they didn't say God's name. You know, they kind of wiggled out of it a little bit there, you know what I mean? Ever notice that too often we treat truth like a worm instead of like a balloon? You know, we find truth really squishy, but there's nothing squishy about what would happen. She's not even looking now, see? There's nothing squishy about this. If I poke it, it will pop, huh? If I poke it, it will pop. It's not squishy. This thing will pop. But the Jews had a squishy way of doing it. So they would swear by this and that and the other thing, just as long as it wasn't God. You know? And so Jesus was talking about that kind of thing. But I want you to think about something. If it's in your heart to speak the truth, will saying, I swear, make it any more true? That doesn't make it any more true, does it? Yeah. In fact, if taking an oath is necessary in your normal daily life, does that mean you're not telling the truth the rest of the time? No. You see, it becomes superfluous, doesn't it? We don't need to do those things in order to be true. If I held up this Bible cover and I told you it's, well, it used to be black. It's mostly black, right? I don't need to tell you I swear it's black. Because it's still black. I can just say it's black. I don't need to swear that it's black, right? In order for you to believe me if I tell the truth. And one of my favorites is true facts. What is that? Is that the opposite of false facts? I don't get it. But I looked on the internet. I looked up specifically in Google. True facts. I got 4 million hits for true facts. I should have done a search for false facts just to see. Because I thought by definition facts were, well, never mind. So Jesus was saying in verse 37 there, let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Meaning, if you're telling the truth, tell the truth. It's not about, well, mostly the truth or sort of the truth or what I did say was the truth, but it wasn't everything. No. Are we honest people? Are we honest people? Is there integrity all the way around what we're saying? Or is there just a tiny hole in it? You know? Is there just a tiny hole? The rest of it's all there. I told all the rest of it's true. There was just one little tiny part that wasn't. Is that okay? No, that's not how it works, is it? If it's true, it's true. Now, when Aunt Bertha, make up a name, Aunt Susie, Aunt Patty, whoever, when they come to you and they want you to look at their hat and it's got these wilted flowers on it and they say, isn't my hat beautiful? That doesn't mean you have to be rude to them, right? We're not talking about being honest to the point of saying, no, I'm sorry, your hat's ugly. That's not what we're talking about, is it? That's not where we need to go. We're not talking about hurting people's feelings so that we're honest. That's not what we mean. We mean that in your heart, you're being truthful with that person. That's what we're talking about. Turn with me to the book of Revelation and think about God's last day people and the ninth commandment. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having what? Their father's name written in their foreheads. Do you think these are people that are trustworthy? Are these people with integrity? I think so. Having their father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. Verse 3. They sang as it were what? A new song. A new song. Before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. And we talked about that back with the seventh commandment, right? These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found what? No guile, no deceit. No deceit. Yes. For they are without fault before the throne of God. There is no deceit found in their mouth. Do you remember the story of Jacob and how he grasped his brother's heel, right? And how he was constantly doing stuff to deceive. This was Jacob's way of life until he found the Lord, you know? He was deceiving. In fact, when he deceived his father, even his own father, his brother said, isn't he called Jacob for a good reason? Because that's what his name meant. The one who grasps the heel, or by extension, the one who deceives. And so he needed a change of heart. He needed something outside of himself, something that he could not have without God intervening in his life. What about you and I? We can sit here in church and listen to sermons about integrity and think it's all good, that this is easy. I'll just always tell the truth. But that's sometimes not what comes out of our mouth. You know, when there's no pressure on life, it's pretty easy to just drift along, right? Not much chance of this balloon popping, is there? Not much going to happen with this one, right? Even if I take my trusty little pin here and I poke at it, not going to pop, is it? Because there's no pressure, no problem. What about these people in this last day? Do you think they're going to have trouble? Do you think there's going to be pressure on their lives? Do you think they're going to be blown up to the nth degree? I'm afraid so. That there's going to be pressure on their lives. Pressures building up and building up and building up, huh? And yet, they are the people that God could say in their mouth is no deceit, no guile, right? Isn't that what Jesus said about one of his disciples, right? Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Where did Jacob find the strength to withstand the pressures after that? Because after all, didn't his uncle try and cheat him constantly? And he could have lied a little bit. There was pressure there to tell things that weren't true, or maybe to just twist the truth a little bit, huh? You see, it's not when we're sitting in church and things are easy that these commandments make a whole lot of difference, huh? It's when there's pressure. It's only when there's pressure. Because when there's pressure, that kind of pressure bearing in on us can make us pop. Or when there's a sharp situation. We didn't expect it. It just came upon us suddenly. And it was right there. And there it went. And the real problem with it is that once there's just the tiniest little hole, the tiniest little hole, our integrity comes completely apart. It comes completely apart. We give up under pressure. This week, you might find a situation where you're tempted. Maybe it's at work, something going on at work where you have to make a report and, you know, how are you going to make that report? It'll look a whole lot better if you just sort of leave that one thing out. You know, it's not like you're lying, you're just leaving that part out. Or maybe it's at home. You just don't feel like the argument that you know is coming if you tell your wife just how much you spent on those golf clubs. And so, you know, you just sort of, you know, don't exactly tell it exactly the way it happened. Or in my case, it's books, you know. I buy books. Well, how much did those books cost? Well, dear, isn't it a nice day? right? Or maybe it's just twisted a little bit. This week, that kind of temptation just might happen. And it might come suddenly, unexpectedly. It might be a slow buildup of pressure. It might be the boss pressuring you. Who knows where it's coming from? But somewhere, those kinds of things happen. And what will be our response? We can say today, yes, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to deceive. But, you know, when it comes upon you in the moment, it's really hard to think about those things. And where do you get the strength? You see, because Revelation 14 describes these last day people in verse 12 by saying, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who do what? Keep the commandments. Keep the what? Keep the commandments of God. Yes? These people keep the commandments of God even under pressure. Even if it hurts them, they keep the commandments of God. I don't know about you, but I mess up. Just ask Kid. I mess up from time to time. How do you keep the commandments of God if you don't have the rest of the verse? Because these people not only keep the commandments of God, but they have the faith of Jesus. What did Jesus say about himself in John 14, 6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yes? You see, we become truthful. We become honest. We have integrity even under pressure because we live with the one who is truth, and thus he gives us life. And then when the sharp things of life come along, you see, it doesn't do anything because he's protecting us. He watches over us. He guards us. He lives his life in us. And thus we can be people that God can say, there is no guile in their mouths. That's what I want this week. How about you? That God will bless us this week with that. And so I invite you to live close to Jesus this week so that he can live out his life in you. And when those sharp things of life come along, God will protect you.